With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Top South Dakota Republican lawmakers say they would rather wait until the legislative session in January to decide how to use most of the federal coronavirus aid the state has received. Following a conference call with Governor Kristi Noem, Republican legislative leaders said they were following current negotiations in Congress over the new coronavirus aid package and hoping that Congress would extend the deadline beyond the end of the year to allocate most of the $1.25 billion the state has received. House Majority Leader Lee Qualm says if that happens, there may not be a special session this fall. The state has spent about $75 million of the aid so far, with most of that going toward unemployment benefits. Republicans say the legislature needs time to make sure the money has the most impact. Democrats argue that waiting to spend the money until next year would be too late for people and businesses struggling from the pandemic. Senate Minority Leader Troy Hinert is calling for legislators to convene as early as September, creating a task force of convening committees. House Speaker Steve Haugard says he plans to spend the next few months hearing from constituents to understand how the money can best be used. He says as increased unemployment benefits expire and people cut back on their spending, the economic impact will become clearer. The Federal Aviation Administration is awarding more than $6 million to 10 South Dakota airports for safety and infrastructure development projects. Pierre Regional and Sturgis Municipal Airports received more than $1 million each. Eight other municipal airports were also awarded funding. The grants are part of $273 million distributed to 41 other states. In June, six other South Dakota airports were given more than $2 million. The total includes money from the Airport Improvement Program and the CARES Act. Grant money can be used for constructing and repairing runways and taxiways, conducting airport master plan studies, and purchasing aircraft rescue and firefighting equipment. Organizers of the Sioux Empire Fair in South Dakota say they're prepared to deal with the coronavirus outbreak when the event kicks off this weekend. COVID-19 has caused other states, including North Dakota and Minnesota, to cancel their state fairs. But in South Dakota, the Sioux Empire Fair typically draws about 300,000 people, and the state fair made no plans to cancel. Sioux Empire Fair CEO Scott Wick said to Minnehaha County commissioners that more hand-washing stations have been added. About 80 hand sanitizer dispensers have been placed around the fairgrounds in Sioux Falls, and 1 million doses of hand sanitizer are available. The three major healthcare systems in South Dakota all agree that masks help slow the spread of COVID-19. Each system requires a mask to enter its hospitals and clinics. They all recommend that people wear a mask in public, especially when social distancing is not possible. However, there are some political leaders who still aren't sure. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
President Donald Trump has questioned masks. He's refused to wear them in public until recently. In fact, now he occasionally mentions them.
We strongly advise everyone to especially focus on maintaining a social distance, maintaining rigorous hygiene, avoid large gatherings and crowded indoor bars, and wear masks when appropriate.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem continues to question the efficacy of masks.
The mask situation with kids and with adults is very mixed research, and the science has not proven what's effective and what isn't and what type of mask. We have to stay objective when we look at it and really look at still the most helpful thing that you can do each and every day to help slow down the spread of the virus is to wash your hands.
Noem says people should have the freedom to wear a mask if they choose to. Noem says science hasn't shown that masks are effective in containing the spread of COVID. However, a recent study from the University of Washington shows if 95% of Americans wear cotton masks, it can reduce virus transmission by 30%. That could prevent 40,000 deaths in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control reports when it comes to virus transmission, South Dakota's low population is not preventing spread of the disease. Recent numbers show the state has 957 cases of COVID-19 for every 100,000 residents. That's higher than neighboring Minnesota, with 932 cases for every 100,000 people.
It all goes back to clean hands and wearing a mask and social distancing.
That's Jill Tice, a vice president at Monument Health in Rapid City, which requires a mask when entering its facilities. She says a mask helps slow the spread of the virus in two ways.
It creates that barrier of somebody who may not know that they're positive, may not have signs or symptoms yet, to help control that source. And then also for somebody who is just in the general public around where we're not able to maintain 6 feet of social distancing, that it's creating a barrier. And it does allow for a degree of protection when we're not able to maintain that 6 feet of distance.
The World Health Organization also says masks should be a part of a comprehensive strategy to suppress virus transmission and save lives. It encourages masks as well as frequent hand washing and not touching your face. South Dakota's Avera Health also requires that patients in its facilities wear a mask. And Sanford takes the same approach. Julia Meyer is manager of infection prevention with Sanford Health. She says they require all visitors at Sanford to follow CDC guidance, which recommends wearing a mask.
In-house, since we have started wearing a mask, we have seen a decrease of the amount of COVID between healthcare workers and that are in our building. So we do continue to track that. We still are learning. But as far as the science that is out there, it does show that person-to-person transmission. And with that mask, we are decreasing the risk.
Meyer says the most likely points of transmission are when people talk, sneeze, or cough near each other. She says people can spread the virus even when they do not have any symptoms. Because this is a new version of the coronavirus, Meyer says Sanford recommends what works.
This is really different than anything that we have really dealt with before. So we're really just trying to protect everyone. And the mask wearing is really, at this time with the science we know, it really is a recommendation that can keep people safe.
Julia Meyer says that's especially important as people return to work and kids return to school. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
The Black Hills National Forest is littered with dead trees knocked down by vicious weather. But some of those trees damaged in recent storms could have new life as lumber, SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
Logger Ron Schell is at work in a northern section of the Black Hills. He says there are basically two things that take out trees in a forest, loggers and Mother Nature. And if loggers don't do it,
then Mother Nature will take care of it, and when she does it, she's grumpy about it.
Usually, that means fires and tree-killing bugs. But earlier this month in the Black Hills, it was tornadoes. Two tornadoes hit. They came 4 days apart in the same area of the northern Black Hills National Forest. Steve Kozel is district ranger. He says the first one came July 6th.
So where the tornado touched down to where it lifted was about 3,500 acres that you could see twisted timber, down timber.
The second one was July 10th.
And within that path, there were approximately 3,200 acres that were affected directly.
Altogether, that's 6,700 acres of forest. 10 square miles. Dozens of forest roads and recreational trails are blocked by fallen trees. The twisters started on the Wyoming side of the border and blew across the state line. They rampaged around in big, irregular ovals between Sundance and Lead. Thousands of trees died. Some snapped in half. Jagged parts of their trunks still poke out of the ground. Some were uprooted, exposing giant masses of roots and earth. The Forest Service wants to harvest about 50% of the fallen trees. If they don't, all that dead timber could fuel a big wildfire. So they've redirected loggers already working in the area. Now, instead of cutting down live trees, they're taking trees knocked down by the tornadoes. The loggers have to hurry because the downed trees are drying up. In 6 or 8 weeks, they could be rotted and bug-infested and worthless as timber. Right now, it makes for tedious work.
It's just a lot more time-consuming picking everything up because it's strung every which direction, so...
That's Ron Schell, the guy who called Mother Nature grumpy. He runs one of the logging companies doing the work. They're in a remote part of the Northwest Black Hills, about 25 miles west of Lead. The site is busy and loud. Operators run big pieces of equipment. They use a machine called a feller buncher. It cuts off trees at the base and lays them on the ground. In this case, a lot of the trees are already on the ground. A skidder drags the trees to a landing area. Then a huge mechanical arm picks up pine trees as tall as five-story buildings. They look light as toothpicks in its grip. Rollers and blades strip away limbs and bark. In a flash, the trees become logs. Loggers contract with sawmills in Spearfish and Hewlett, Wyoming. The mill owner pays the Forest Service for the timber. Much of the lumber goes into window frames and wall paneling. But the loggers won't get all the dead trees. Jamie Morrison oversees timber sales for the Forest Service.
If it's still attached to the root system, a lot of times you can salvage the majority of that tree versus a snap-off where you've got, it took so much stress before it snapped. A lot of times that'll affect the interior part of the wood.
Some of the trees are too small for the sawmills. Others are on land too steep and rugged for loggers. Some downed trees will stay where they are and become homes for wildlife. And environmentalists say that's good. They want the Forest Service to do less salvage logging. Kozel, the Forest Service ranger, says there'll be some habitat left behind.
Yeah, there's going to be wood left on the ground for small mammals, other nesting birds that will provide cover. Also, the remaining wood provides shade for other plants to grow too.
Kozel says he's had his fill of severe weather for a while. A tornado in 2018 hit the same general area. Damage from that twister closed some of the same forest roads and recreational trails that are closed now.
I don't know, it seems to be Tornado Alley. I did visit with a National Weather Service person, and she didn't really have an explanation for it.
Kozel has worked in the Black Hills for 18 years. He's seen damage from 6 tornadoes. It's too soon to say how much the Forest Service will make logging the damaged timber from recent storms. Last year, there was more logging in the Black Hills than any other national forest. It brought in about $5 million. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in the Black Hills National Forest.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends. Together we can make a more civically engaged South Dakota. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.